Well, the talk tonight, Jesus, I am the light of the world. And the world needs the light, doesn't it? What terrible stories we've heard. But this message is about Jesus, the light of the world. I want us to look at the concept of light through the Bible, from creation through to the ends of the New Testament and the epistles, the letters, and what it means to us today. What does the Bible mean by the light of the world? We've got the sun in the sky, haven't we? Isn't that enough? It gives us light, warmth. It brings the seasons so we can grow food. It gives us sunny beaches to go on holiday. But God uses words in a deeper way, doesn't he? He goes beyond the words alone. Whenever he speaks about something, there's nearly always a deeper meaning. He uses commonplace expressions, but there's a deeper meaning that affects the whole of our being. Have the next slide, please. As you know, we're body, soul, and spirit. The body, the physical part of our being. Well, the sun in the sky provides our physical needs, doesn't it? To sustain the body, keep the world running. That's enough, isn't it? But then there's our soul, the part of us that makes the person we are, that makes you, you, and me, me. The thinking part of our being, the knowing part of our being, our will, our drive, our emotions. The soul has an eternal future, one way or the other. And our spirit, this is a very special part of us, that's mostly unknown to us, but it's very precious to God. He gave us this spirit. When we were conceived, his spirit speaks to our spirit, communes with our spirit. It's where the gifts of the spirit come into us and join with us and bring new life into our being. The spirit also has an eternal future. So we've got three parts to our being, and we talk about the Trinity, don't we? Where Jesus came in bodily form. We've got the Holy Spirit that communes with our spirit. And I see a sort of parallel with the soul, the thinking part of God, the will of God in the Father. And we are made in God's image, aren't we? In Bible terminology, the words soul and spirit sometimes seem to have an overlap. There's no definite line that marks a boundary between the two. And sometimes the word soul seems to refer to spirit. So there's a strong and important connection between them. Feeding our wholeness. God has our best interests at heart because he loves us. He knows the mind of mankind and our sometimes strange ways. And some people deny the spiritual world. Complete atheists. No, no, God doesn't exist. A load of rubbish. They'll feed their bodies. They satisfy their souls through things of this world. Just look at the newsstand. Their spiritual side is starved out of existence because it's never fed. It's kept in the dark. It becomes atrophied because they never use it. They deny its existence. So they're sort of cripples from the spiritual point of view. They can become blinded to the existence of God. Those that are spiritually aware have a better chance of seeing God. I know this from going to Africa. They're all aware of the spiritual world, very much so. And so many of them will turn to God. But the pride of some people won't allow them to acknowledge the existence of something more powerful than they are, greater than they are. So they deify things of the world. They'll worship rocks, snakes, animals, elephants, and cats and dogs and eagles and heaven knows what. They call it animism. Some see the dark side of the spiritual world, don't they? They follow spiritualism, seances, occult, Wicca. They're here in Gloucester. They're across the road in one of the shops there, they told me. Some follow Satan. How dangerous can you get? And again, they cannot admit that our God is the high God over all other gods. And there are those like us who follow the high God over all other gods, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. So let's skim back to the beginning of the Bible when the concept of life of light was first introduced. Slide 3, please. In Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So the physical formation of light was established in the physical world at the very first act of creation. Now, just as an aside, creationists, people who believe in creation, they call the moment of creation the Big Bang, the scientists call it that, and my goodness, what a Big Bang it was. All the energy of the entire universe released from a point in space smaller than a pinhead. An explosion to dwarf the biggest hydrogen bomb man has ever made. And I use the word man deliberately because women are far too sensible to waste their time on such things. An explosion to dwarf the light of our sun, the light of the whole galaxy of suns. The biggest blaze of light ever. Let there be light. Big Bang. My degree is in physics. I've done nuclear physics. To me, it's the same story. The same story. It's not a bad description in my book. God saw the light was good, and it provided our days and nights for his creation, for his people. Next slide, please. Next, we move on to a time when Moses was leading his people of Israel through the wilderness. At this time in history, God was speaking to individuals, to priests, to prophets, and they gave the word to the people. They now needed guidance by his light through the endless miles of journeying through the wilderness. So the next slide, this pillar of fire. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So now light wasn't just sunlight by day or moonlight by night or the glimmer of stars. It's a specific pillar of light to give people direction. The concept of the deeper meaning of light from God is beginning to show itself in the scriptures as something that gives guidance, something for people to follow. Next slide, please. In the book of 2 Samuel 22, we find David realizing the significance of the light of God. David said, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. You are a lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." David sees God as a light in his life. The concept of light is something that gives him strength. Strength enough to scale a wall. And David speaks of God's light again in the Psalm. Psalm 27, next slide please. Excuse me. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then Psalm 36. "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." And then next slide, please. In Psalm 56. "I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Light's becoming much more important, you see, and I start to realize this. And in Psalm 119, next slide please, I won't read it all, just verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And you can sense David's very strong impression that the light of God is something that fills him on the inside, It changes the way he feels about things. He can scale walls. It gives him courage, strength. I can do anything with the light of God in me. He's fearless when things around him might be very threatening. God is a light for a path through life. Next slide, please. God's words are timeless. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13, look at the hourglass. Bit different, isn't it? God controls time. That one's going upwards in case you can't spot it. My God shines the light of Jesus into my heart and into your hearts. And if we open the eyes of our soul and welcome him in, then nothing can make us afraid. It gives us a strength. Those persecuted Christians abroad, it gives them strength to carry on in their faith. Nothing can make us afraid. Nothing will overcome us. For we are with the Lord and he is with us. But some people have closed their hearts and are spiritually blinded by things going on around them. Next slide. In Isaiah 42, we read, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. God wants to help them out. What a wonderful God we have. Next slide, please. Jesus, the light of the world, in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the themes of the light of God become more focused in Jesus, the light of the world, particularly in John's Gospel. In John chapter 1, talking about Jesus, the Word, becoming flesh, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's true, isn't it? You know, the Word of God has been around for 2,000 years and people still don't get it. How blind can people be? And this light that shines in the darkness. You know, it's not a physical description. Jesus doesn't glow in the dark. We're moving into a deeper understanding of the spiritual nature of Jesus. The very life of Jesus was the spiritual light of men. Go to the next slide, please. The passage continues. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. They're talking about John. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So again, do you get the impression that the concept of spiritual light is important? John talking about it. Jesus is the true light, the spiritual light that lights up our spirit and our soul and fills us with the glory of God if we ask for it, if we let him, if we hunger for it. Hallelujah. But those who have evil in them hate the light. Next slide. John 3, 18 to 20 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's just the way it is, guys. They're condemned by their own beliefs. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Now we're seeing a concept of spiritual darkness coming into the story and what it does to people. They fear the light. They're condemned by their own deeds and their refusal to come into the light of Jesus. Note, if we believe in Jesus, if, then we are not condemned. So we need to seek the light because in Jesus alone is our salvation. That's right, isn't it? This is one of the reasons Jesus came, to change us on the inside forever. With the light of Jesus inside us, with the disposition of Jesus in our hearts, we change, don't we? You think back over the years, your path as a Christian, and how much you've changed. I know how much I've changed. So if Jesus gives us his light, we receive his light, it makes us different. And spiritually, we're special. Next slide. Thank you. I am the light of the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. It's John 8, verse 12. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if we follow Jesus, we will have the light of life. It's another if. There are lots of ifs in the New Testament. Does Jesus speak the truth? Yeah. Oh, yes. And Jesus states his position clearly in John verse 9. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. I am the light of the world. He speaks the truth. He is the light of the world. As long as it's day, we've got to do his work. This means that if we're Christians, we've got the work of God to do. We're not here just to sit on our seats on a Sunday and then sit on our faith for the rest of the week. We take the life of God out with us, the light of God out with us, don't we? God brings us so much. He sent his own son to death as a measure of how much he hates the sin that afflicts us. God sent his only son out into the firing line knowing what would happen. It'd be difficult enough for any one of us to volunteer to go out into the firing line. But to send our son out, I couldn't do that. But that's how much Jesus volunteered. That's how much God loved us. He sent him out for us. We owe God our eternal lives. We were bought at a price. God goes deep. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God cares a great deal for us. Out of love, out of gratitude, we should care a great deal for him. If we follow Jesus, we will have the light of life. That's the promise in the scriptures. It changes us, and we're required to do something about it. The passage in Matthew 5, known as the Beatitudes, next slide please, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Oh, the searchlight has turned round the other way. We've got the light of God in us, so we become the light of the world. Right. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now just think back to what a house was in those days. It might have been a single room. A lot of dwellings were a single room. Just think of something 15 feet square. Someone's got a sitting room that big. There'd be beds in the corner, a place for a fire, and there'd be a lampstand for one lamp to sit on to light the whole room at night. We put it on the stand. So Jesus came as the light of the world. His light affects us. The light shines in our lives. We become one with him. And so we get lit up on the inside too, in a spiritual way, a special way. And we're required to let our light shine before other people. That's what it says. But we have to work at it, don't we? It's not easy. Our human nature, as the secular world likes to call it, is inherently sinful. We blow it. We get things wrong sometimes, and we have to say, sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Help me to do better. And he says, of course I forgive you. Come on, let's walk on together. The ways of the world infect us from before we're born. It's very hard to change. It takes years, I know from my own experience, but we get there. We move along. Work in progress. I wonder if we thought about the way we come across to other people. Are we a bit grumpy sometimes? Forgotten how to smile? You've heard the saying, sometimes I wake up grumpy, sometimes I let him sleep. Do we complain a lot? Are we a bit mischievous? Unkind sometimes? Controlling? Manipulative? Obsessive about things? Jealous? Negative? Critical? Well, I don't mean we should be doormats and let people walk all over us and not correct things that are wrong or ungodly, especially in the church. But if it's our everyday nature, then these are symptoms of a bit of darkness that can swamp the light. And we want the light to take first place, don't we? Now, the devil can only affect us if we let him. So we need to repent of whatever it is. Work at it. Get with God in prayer daily until Jesus, the light of the world, shines the sin right out of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So wouldn't we rather be known as the light of the world along with Jesus Christ? He can change us if we're really willing to change. And sometimes it takes quite a decision. Oh, I suppose I must. You know, oh dear, do I have to, Lord? Yeah, he wants us to. He won't condemn us if we choose not to, but there is one who will condemn us. Have the next slide, please. John 12:44-50. I have come into the world as light. The next slide. Jesus cried out, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. Next slide. There is a judge. Come the next slide, please. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. It's, I love you, but I'm just saying the words God has told me to say, God my Father. There is an if, there is a trap, a snare, the darkness. We need to walk in the light. Jesus is only repeating the truths that his Father tells him to say. He gives us the requirements. He offers us a choice. So let us choose life and choose it to the full. Next slide. As Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So let us choose the light of life. So that the light of Jesus may be in us and shine out to those around us. Next slide. Ephesians 5 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Ah, so we are light. The Bible says so. So let us live as children of light. For the fruit of that light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. Isn't that good news? And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Next slide. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I want Christ to shine on me, don't you? And the more the better. There's still much in my life that needs to move closer to God. And I keep giving him permission to peck away at it. And I draw closer to him as time goes on. It's good to have the light of the world in us, isn't it? Next slide, please. John 1 John 1 says, if, there's another if, you see, there are so many ifs in there. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Whatever we've done wrong, the blood of Jesus, that sacrifice, it's dealt with. It's dealt with. Gone. Our Father God loves us so passionately. When things go wrong, he feels it too. That's why Jesus wants us to have his light within him to help us to weather the storms of life, to shine the light of God to all people. He wants us to be at one with him. But we need to work at it, don't we? Yes, our faith brings salvation as our reward. And yet there's so much more to eternal life than being a passenger. Shouldn't we want to get the oars and row, get behind the cart and push to join the throng of those who bear witness to the glory of God? Hallelujah. The next slide, please. As we draw to a close, I'd like to read you something. As I was praying about the sermon, God gave me these words to finish with, so you might like to close your eyes a moment and still your hearts to receive his word into the middle of your being. He said, "Look to my light. I will shine in your life if you will look to me. Unburden yourselves of the past and walk free with me. Together we will stride the miles, the years, the journeys in life, the centuries, the eternities to come. Walk safe in my arms. Look into my face and take joy in the glory of eternity together. Rise up in your joy. I am the light of the world. Join the billions who walk with me. You belong in my heart. I belong in yours. Look to my light and draw me into your life now and forever. We will walk the paths beyond the stars, beyond the universe, in the glory of heaven. Join the singing throng that awaits you. You belong with me because of your faith in me. I welcome you, my child, into my loving arms. You will never be alone again. I am with you for always. Forever." And the next slide, please. "I bring joy to the world. Reach out and take it. Walk in my peace." Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the scriptures we read the progression of your light from creation through to now, through to eternity. May your light infect us. May your light saturate us so that we glow on the inside with your spiritual presence. May your glory shine around us and into us. May we absorb it, Lord. Lord Jesus, may we have your disposition in our lives. And yes, whatever the cost, Lord, may we draw closer to you. For in you is the full glory of God. We owe you our lives, our eternal lives. We thank you, Lord. What a very special thing that is, to have the God of creation who wants to know us individually. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Please change us this moment now, forever. May we walk closer with you. May we let our light shine out to others. May we walk the path of your light, the narrow path to life. And please, Lord, let the darkness never distract us from you. Let us not be tempted to stray from your path. Whatever the inconvenience, you are the way. However tricky it might be or hard to organize things, you are the way, and we need to follow you. Please help us, Lord, to follow your light. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And could you put the final slide up, please? It's just that light of the world again. Look at him just praising God in that light.